This hour brought to you by GCNLife.com. Now a hair growth product with natural ingredients and fast results. Reveal from GCNLife.com.
The president is a law and order man. Law and order is good for growth. Law and order is good for family. Law and order is good for people of all colors. It's a unifying message. But there will be reforms regarding police and other areas.
Every day, I'm going to have to live with that. My family's going to have to live with that. His kids are going to have to live with that. I just don't know. Right now, I'm happy that we are getting one step closer to justice. But for the time being, I still need time to grieve with my family because I haven't had that chance yet.
That was George Floyd's brother who talked about, obviously, there what's happened and grieving and what happened to his brother and police reforms on the mind of so many. Before that, you heard Larry Kudlow, who, of course, is the director of the National Economic Council, and he was talking about a couple of different things, including where do we head from here, and that included racism in America. Part of what he talked about, he said he didn't believe that there was systemic racism in the U.S., and of course he's the president's economic top advisor, and that certainly made some news coming out of Washington. So two different ends, Kudlow talking in that direction and talking about the economy, and then George Floyd's brother at the House testifying. Hey, everybody. Kate Delaney, welcome to the show. If you've never been here before, this is for you. That's right. It's about the conversation since I've been doing it for 15 years and on this network for 10. It's about what's happening in your backyard and mine, how it affects us. And obviously, still we're in COVID-19 territory, reopening, conversations about the economy, conversations about flare-ups in the U.S., and flare-ups when it comes to racism. NASCAR today, huge move. Confederate flag ban. I mean, you would see Confederate flags all over the place. Whenever I'd been at any races out of the Texas Motor Speedway, it was a lot of Confederate flags that were in the infield. That was part of the fabric of NASCAR. And they're saying, no, it's not. That it might be common in some races, but it's a statement now that runs contrary to their commitment to providing an inclusive environment for all fans, competitors, and the industry. We're also seeing that Civil War statues are being torn down across the United States, whether it's through the local governments or people doing it themselves. Even Christopher Columbus statues were beheaded. So took the head off of his statue in Boston, in a prominent area in Boston, to say that this doesn't symbolize who we are anymore. So, and another one was pulled to the ground too as well. And a lot of this is unfolding. At the Minnesota State Capitol, a group of people at a rally tossed a rope around a statue of Columbus and tugged it to the ground. And in the Twin Cities, there's so much going on because, of course, that was ground zero for George Floyd. Floyd, rather, having the life choked out of him, as I've said many, many, many times on this show in the last 16 days since Floyd was killed. The one commonality, I believe, with rational people, no matter what kind of political background, leanings, etc. they have, that everybody talks about, is that was abhorrent. It was unacceptable. It was outrageous. And now it has ignited a big debate and a shift in the thinking in many, many cities and towns and rural areas about what do we do policing-wise. Is it working? Is it not working? And a year from now, what is this all going to look like? The president, while the statues were being torn down, And he was asked about that briefly. You know, people were screaming out questions, meaning people, meaning the White House press corps. He said he would not consider renaming a number of military bases that are named for Confederate military leaders after his defense and army secretary signaled they would be willing to discuss the issues. Earlier in the week, he said these monumental and powerful bases have become part of a great American heritage and a history of winning victory and freedom. The United States of America trained and deployed our heroes on these hallowed grounds and won two world wars. Therefore, my administration will not even consider the renaming of these magnificent and fabled military institutions. And there's a lot of conversation about that. And there is a rift between the White House and the Pentagon in some cases. Senior civilian and uniform officers, if you think about it. I started to look at this the second this story started to unfold, and that includes Defense Secretary Mark Esper, Army General Mark Milley, Chairman of the Joint Chiefs of Staff indicated earlier that they were willing to consider renaming the bases that honor Confederate generals. Now, I went through quickly off the top of my head. I mean, can you name them? I started to think about it as a history buff and having been to so many battlefields and been to so many bases. I used to cover the military as a television reporter. The Army has 10 posts named after Confederate generals. Fort Bragg, North Carolina, Fort Benning, Georgia, Fort Hood in Texas. And some of those, of course, were listed in the president's tweets. At the end of the hour, tweet this. We'll go through some interesting tweets that popped up early in the day. And, of course, this is some of what's being discussed in light of statues being torn down. In Charlottesville, Virginia, there's the Robert E. Lee statue. I've seen it a handful of times. And, of course, it's the location of the riots where a protester was killed a couple of years ago. And there are guards around that. And at this point, if you think about bases, their federal institutions, if you think about the statues in these various towns where they are, and you think about, again, symbols and what do they mean and where are we from 16 plus days ago to where we are now, it's interesting in watching what's unfolding and what is a symbol of hate and hatred, and it's not inclusive to people. So your thoughts, you can always flip them to me at katedelaneyradio.com. Many of you unloaded about this on all sides of it, I guess. So katedelaneyradio.com, or you can flip me a call at 855-266-5283, 855-266-5283. And, of course, always at the top of the show, I tell you how many people have died and recovered and confirmed cases we have of COVID-19. Deaths in the U.S., 115,000 recovered. Sweet. I like to see a big number there, 607,000. One loss of life is too many, and we have 115,000. Confirmed cases, 2.4 million. Worldwide confirmed cases, over 7 million. Deaths, 404,000. These are up-to-date numbers. Again, these are confirmed that we know of at this point. On the flip side, the president is ready to hit the road for some very big rallies. Where and what's it about, politically speaking? We got it.
Today, many of us are paying attention to our health, and what we eat plays an important role. But so often the water we drink is a mere afterthought when it should be a primary part of our daily nutrition. Real Water would like to change how you think about the water you drink and how it can play an important role in helping your body restore balance and reach its full potential. The key benefits of every bottle of Real Water are stabilized negative ions, balanced pH, detoxification, and it hydrates you like never before. And yes, it tastes great. Real Water is beyond alkalinity, and due to its proprietary process, is called E2 Technology, it's the only drinking water on the market that can maintain a stable negative ionization, which means real science in every bottle. Order your real water today and take advantage of special pricing for this audience only by calling 1-855-REAL-WTR or visiting buyrealwaternow.com. That's 1-855-REAL-WTR or buyrealwaternow.com. Order now, 1-855-REAL-WTR or buyrealwaternow.com.
Do you want to give you and your loved ones premium nutrition right now? Hi, I'm Jamil Bookaboo from TeamGaday.com and the GCN Longevity Health Team. Get your premium nutrition formulated by world-renowned naturopathic doctor, Dr. Joel Wallach at wholesale, or also become a distributor and earn income while supporting this broadcast. Go to TeamGaday.com via the shopping cart or contact form, and I'll get back to you with support personally. That's TeamGaday.com with Longevity. TeamGaday.com.
The final phase of extermination is set to commence now. And as population die-off becomes evident, you know it is the time of punishment in all that is written. The cover for mass die-off is evolution and global warming frauds, also used as false proof of their Christ. They are from the lines that were disinherited 2,000 years ago. Now they claim to be his Christ based upon blood type, DNA, and long lifespan. Go to unveilingthem.com. That's UNVEILINGthem.com.
Are you still under stay-at-home orders trying to figure out what to do with your free time even after the lockdown is over? Why not try World of Warship? With World of Warships, you can command a massive naval fleet featuring some of history's most iconic war vessels. Unlock new ships as you prepare to dominate the oceans. Each ship is accurate to the original. Each battle will make you feel like you're right there. Each week, there's something new to experience with new missions, game updates, and events to keep you and your friends engaged for hours. Play over 300 ships across 10 different nations. World of Warships currently has over 30 million players worldwide. It's the perfect game to take your mind off things as we self-isolate to help flatten the coronavirus curve. To play for free, go to worldofwarships.com and use the invite code BOOM. BOOM gets players started with two cruisers, one American, one German, as well as some premium currency. Check it out at worldofwarships.com today. Use the invite code BOOM. World of Warships, the thinking man's action game at worldofwarships.com. Invite code BOOM.
Starting our rallies. The first one we believe will be probably, we're just starting to call up, will be in Oklahoma, in Tulsa, Oklahoma. A beautiful new venue, brand new, and they're looking forward to it. They've done a great job with COVID, as you know, in the state of Oklahoma. We're going to be coming into Florida, do a big one in Florida, big one in Texas.
So you probably heard there the president talking about going, going forward with the campaign rallies, etc. So the campaign is returning in Tulsa. That's going to be the first rally since the coronavirus shutdown. That happens next Friday. And at this point, he said his first rally initially. His last rally was like in March, so he was comparing then the coronavirus to the flu, and of course now so much more has happened. I mentioned how many people have died, and now we've got this rally in Tulsa, Oklahoma, and then you've got the outrage over the police killing of George Floyd and some of what now has happened since then. So it's interesting what's going to happen there and how many people will show up and what risk would be mitigated. There's lots of conversations about that because you've got thousands of people that are going to be in one location, and would they see a spike in transmission? This is always the tug of war over, is that going to happen or not? And of course, the president wants the rally to be big, and this is something that they're looking at. A campaign official said on Wednesday the site was chosen in Oklahoma because they were in phase 3 of their reopening, which still requires large venues to operate under limited physical distancing protocols. And then the other rallies are going to be held in Florida, Arizona, and North Carolina. But right now, those states are experiencing those spikes in new cases. So it's the return of the MAGA rallies, but the campaign is weighing, okay, well, they want the crowds, but they're also weighing what's happening with these spikes and the virus, obviously. And it's interesting because we just had the administration, the Health and Human Services Secretary Azar, who said, we're monitoring 60 hot spots across the U.S., 60 counties, and that's what we call them, hot spots, that we're looking at, that we're zeroing in on, because you have vulnerable people. The elderly is certainly is one of the areas. Prisons, food processing plants, so the meatpacking industry. And you can't, as Azar said and stressed, you can't simply put the virus in a box and predict what it will do. And this is what I keep talking about, that it's easy to get complacent, or it's easy to look around and say, hey, look, it's all right in my neighborhood. People are fine. People are social distancing, but they're doing things that they were doing before. And I think it's about the testing, everybody being able to contact, trace, isolate, treat the people, and deal with any type of community spread so you can lock it down. And if you can lock it down, it would be so much, obviously, safer for anybody else in any community, small, medium, or large, based on the population. But, of course, we've had these protests, and the protests, some of them were huge in these communities. We had Memorial Day, where plenty of people had fun and social distance, and it was fine, but others were smack dab on top of each other, like the Lake of the Ozarks, and we're starting to see some outbreaks from that. So the question also becomes, would you go to a political rally at this point? Would you feel comfortable going to one of these rallies in one of these five states? And it includes the great Texas. I mentioned Arizona, Oklahoma, obviously being the first, and North Carolina, and all of that. And the president said, look, we're going to start our rallies back up. We've had a tremendous run at rallies. It's been an amazing thing to behold. And he's right about that. He rallies the crowd, thus rally. And that's where he had success in the last election. Now, there's something else that's happened that absolutely got under the president's skin, and he talked about it. He talked about the fact that he doesn't agree with what the polls are showing, that are, especially CNN had a poll where they had Joe Biden leading 14 points up on the president. Polling is big in politics. Polling is big when you get closer to an election, because the people around the president, the people around the presumptive Democratic nominee, Joe Biden, eat this stuff up for breakfast, because they're trying to figure out, where do they need to be? What do they need to say? Where do they need to pump up the message? This is politics from day one. So the president lashed out at this poll, saying, you know, we want a retraction. This is not true. And they sent a letter to CNN President Jeff Zucker that was signed by the president's campaign legal advisor, Jenna Ellis, and Chief Operating Officer Michael Glasner, alleging that the poll was designed to mislead American voters through a biased questionnaire and skewed sampling. CNN said, look, we stand by our poll. That's it. They released the poll on Monday that showed the president trailing Biden by 14 points, also showed his job approval rating had dropped 7 percentage points in 1 month. And the president tweeted out, CNN polls are as fake as they're reporting. And he says, same numbers. He said, same numbers and worse against crooked Hillary. But looking at those numbers, looking at CNN's polling. Of course, if we go from 2020 and we go backwards and we look at June 2016, the numbers were different. They were a little bit, they were a lot closer. Clinton had a 5-point lead. And I guess, you know, he's referring to that. Hey, she had a 5-point lead. Look what ultimately happened. That's why I say polls can be twisted anyway in any direction. But 14 is a very, very big number. Thus, it got under their skin. See, I always talk about the importance of numbers. Hey, once again, Kate Delaney, as we maneuver through this minefield of COVID-19, political campaigns, Confederate symbols being torn down, and more conversations about changes with police departments and whether or not they should be defunded, or is that a downright dangerous idea to think that you can defund the police department and the people in whatever area will be safe. In fact, even in Minneapolis, they're talking about, okay, there's been problems, obviously, but there are some things, there's some reforms, there's, the police chief is talking about ways the union can work on better community relations, etc. But there is a movement afoot in not just Minneapolis, but in, again, other places of defunding police and rethinking it. And if you defund the police, then what is the system? And what will keep the community safe? And remember, the Minneapolis City Council President, Lisa Bender, who is the face of this whole thing there, says that it's clear it doesn't work, and there are other ways to keep the community safe, and we can do it. So I've been asked by so many of you to explain defunding the police. It means taking, it's very simple. It means taking money away from police forces across the country and allocating it instead into social programs that would benefit the community. So just getting rid of them and either doing what they did in Camden, New Jersey, where they have a reset button and they get rid of the police force and then rebuild, or doing, you know, or doing something else. Here's the concern. I'm not for defunding the police. I'm not for doing that. Am I for reforming police departments where they've had massive corruptions, problems with officers and how they apprehend criminals, especially when you're talking about the relation with the community and Black Americans, etc., and some of the horrific things that we've certainly seen is wrong. It's an abomination. It's outrageous. Yes, absolutely. But if you defund completely...
In today's world, violent crime can victimize anyone, anytime. When violent crime confronts you, will you be able to protect yourself and your loved ones? For personal protection training, there's none better than Front Sight, the world's premier firearms training facility near Las Vegas, Nevada. Learn firearm skills from Front Sight's world-class instructors, led by Front Sight's founder and director, Dr. Ignatius Piazza. Whether you're in law enforcement, the military, or a private citizen, after your first firearm training course at Front Sight, you'll leave with skills that surpass 99% of the gun-owning population, guaranteed. And now, you and your family can train at Front Sight free of charge. Yes, free. Go now to frontsight.com/radio to secure a $2,000 four-day defensive handgun course. Absolutely free with no catch. Enter FRONTSIGHT.com/radio. Act now before these free courses are all taken. Secure your free four-day course at frontsight.com/radio. Front Sight, America's gun training destination.
Thank you for listening to GCN. Be sure to visit GCNLive.com today.
USA Radio News with Wendy King.
A key House committee is holding a hearing on police reform. George Floyd's brother, Felonious, is urging action after the death of his brother and other unarmed African Americans in police custody.
George called for help and he was ignored. Please listen to the call I'm making to you now. to the calls of our family and the calls ringing out the streets across the world.
Floyd is one of several witnesses that is testifying for the House Judiciary Committee about police practices and oversight just days after Democrats in Congress unveiled legislation that would prohibit the use of chokeholds and some no-knock warrants. Minneapolis Police Chief Madaria Arredondo.
We will have a police department that our communities view as legitimate, trusting, and working with their best interests at heart.
This is USA Radio News. With the big election just 5 months away, President Trump is resuming his campaign rallies starting next Friday.
We're going to be starting our rallies. The first one we believe will be probably, we're just starting to call up, will be in Oklahoma. In Tulsa, Oklahoma.
At this time, it isn't clear if the rally will include any social distancing or coronavirus protections. At least 16 states have seen increases in COVID-19 cases. Dr. Dean Bloomberg is an infectious disease expert at the University of California, Davis.
We might open up too far, too fast, and if that happens, we may need to adjust.
And the nationwide police brutality protests are raising fears of another wave of infections. The director of the Harvard Global Health Institute offered yet another sobering prediction that the U.S. could see another 100,000 coronavirus deaths by September. You're listening to USA Radio News.
Would you like to get back that full head of hair from years past? Introducing Reveal from GCNLife.com. Beverly Hills dermatologist Dr. Nathan Newman invented Reveal, which contains polypeptides with natural botanicals and no parabens, sulfates, silicones, or dyes for a salon-quality hair growth product, Reveal. Here's Dr. Newman.
I have treated a lot of patients who lose their hair and they lose their confidence. We've created a unique set of polypeptides, which we call HPT6. The HPT6 contains the polypeptides from six different plants. The scalp infusion treatment should be used on wet or dry scalp. The Reveal hair care system is designed to be used for men and women alike.
Get Reveal at GCNLife.com with a 30-day money-back guarantee. So try Reveal today at GCNLife.com or 844-443-6637. Plus a discount up to 25% off for Reveal at GCNLife.com or 844-443-6637.
Now let's talk about the mail. Can we talk about the mail, please, Mac? I'm dying to talk about the mail with you all day, okay?
Let's get in the mail bag. Let's get in the mail bag.
Thanks for all of your email. Each and every time I jump on the air, I always think about that to make sure that I remind all of you. You do a great job of thinking about what we're talking about on the show. I know you listen to it different times of the day, so bravo for that. For anyone else who's new to the game, 24/7, baby, you have some thoughts, share them. Don't keep them to yourself. That's why I do this show. KateDelaneyRadio.com, KateDelaneyRadio.com, click on contact, and boom, you're in just like that. This one is from Trey. And he's listening to us in Kentucky, and Trey says, wow, Kate, man, things are changing faster than the time it takes me to get off the couch and let my dog in and out in between commercials, or at least when I used to watch live sports, and it has massive repercussions across the board. It scares me to think of defunding the police. If they want to do that in Minneapolis, that's just fine. Let them be the guinea pigs. But I hope they don't do that in Kentucky, anywhere in Kentucky. And also seeing some of our symbols being torn down, I have mixed feelings about that. But then I think I'll be called a racist. And I understand the hard feelings, the awful feelings, because of what this country went through with the Civil War, but then I think about the history part of it, and am I just being stupid in thinking that way? And I do still even understand how some of them would be torn down, but others, why wouldn't they be left? Oh, Trey, here's the thing. So defunding the police, I think that it's a, it could work like it did in Camden, but that's a small area. They had massive corruption. It wasn't just a racism problem, community versus white cops or cops who weren't enlightened and involved in the community. It was across the board. There was all kinds of problems, and boom, they nailed it, did it right, came back stronger, knocked down the crime numbers, became more of a community effort, all of that. Police reaching out to the community reaching out to the police when they needed them. So they restored that trust, and it worked. But it worked there. It doesn't mean that it would work every single place. I'm never for a one-size-fits-all, because I think that can be dangerous thinking. Quickly pivoting when there's problems, and there have been outrageous shootings and deaths that have happened that were definitely racist, and it was a bad cop or bad cops, you know, absolutely. But the problem again becomes it doesn't fit every size. But, you know, we may see this happen in more places than just Minneapolis, because I really think it's going to happen in Minneapolis. They had a huge rally where people were screaming at the top of their lungs, had big signs, defund the Minneapolis Police Department, but they've had massive problems in Minneapolis with the police. So this is also nothing new in having problems with the police and the community, but this is the most outrageous, despicable, disgusting, whatever word you want to use, thing that's happened that the world has seen, where George Floyd had the life choked out of him. So with the defunding thing, I agree. I think that has to be, I think I would challenge anyone across the board that you can't just, you know, throw that out there, meaning throw that out there and think that that's going to fit across all policing. Let's just get rid of it altogether. And then with the Confederate monuments, the symbolism of it, what it stands for, is too hurtful, too painful. Again, this wound that has been growing and getting worse, it's a Band-Aid that just can't be, you just can't put, just kind of tear some of the Band-Aid off. It's now an all-or-nothing thing with the protests that we've seen and with the people, again, who have had to deal with so many things in their communities where they are targeted because of their race. So those symbols, and it's been coming for a while, but the Floyd death just completely pushed it right over the top. That, okay, so yes, we want, you know, even Floyd's brother's calling for peaceful protests, but the idea that you're going to have these symbols that are going to stay because they've become symbols, it's not going to happen. That's just not going to happen. Because you think about NASCAR, and that to me is, as soon as I heard about NASCAR, that tells you all you need to know. That Confederate flags have been at NASCAR spots from as long as I can remember, and they're saying, nope, we're taking them down. I mean, basically, is it what NASCAR is saying is, hey, we're about racing, but we're about inclusion, and we're not about racism. So, yeah, we're not going to have this flag up for what it means. We're not going to have it up. You had, if you think back, you've had more of the Confederate flags being removed, and it initially sometimes doesn't get much resistance, and then it gets more resistance. NASCAR fans, how are they going to react to it? But they're saying no displays of the flag. It is completely prohibited from all NASCAR events and properties, all. Meaning you can't have a little flag, you can't be in the stands with a flag, nothing. That it's done. It's gone. No parking your RV on the infield and having the Confederate flag and saying it's just part of what we do. They're saying they will ban, remove people, etc. when it comes back full force. So I think, like I said, I think that tells you all you need to know. The monuments that are being ripped down by people are saying it's not honoring, it's a failed rebellion against the United States to preserve slavery, and putting the history in a museum is where it belongs. So they're saying, a lot of people are saying, put it in the museum, put it at those spots, etc. All right, I went deep on that, so let's move to another one. And this one is from Kathy. She says, Kate, I like the fact that you talk about COVID-19 because it seems like with all the upheaval, there's no conversation anymore about the coronavirus. And as much as I don't want that 24/7, I want to know what the numbers are. I want to know what's happening. I want to know what's happening with vaccines. So I appreciate that. And I appreciate the fact that you shared the story of your great-grandmother, who you never knew, who died of the Spanish flu. So your family was definitely touched by something similar to COVID-19. Yeah, and I don't know many details about it. I just know that nobody was doing the distancing. They had a big parade. My grandmother was 7 months old, and that was it. She got it. She died. It was awful. The severe. I know that they said it was severe and quick, and that was it. And then my great-grandfather just moved on because he had a seven-year-old daughter and a seven-month-old daughter. And think about the time period that we're talking about of that pandemic, what that was like. All right, so how about this one? This one is from Joseph, and I like all these new people. You know, you can always call 855-266-2283 and flip out your comments that way if you're listening to us live. But Joseph says, Kate, I listened to you in Portland. Thanks for the shouts out. Obviously, you've been here before, and if you know anything about the people, you know that it is a varied people. People like to think that we swing so far left, or that there's just a tiny thread of people who are more conservative, and I say bully to that. There's all kinds of political opinions here of all sorts. Voter registrations, I heard, have gone down, though, because of the pandemic. So wouldn't that be really challenging to the Democrats and to the Republicans? And do you think that will skew the election? Well, that's why there's the push for vote, vote, vote. That's why the president wants to have the rallies and is talking about the rallies. And that's why the Democrats are doing the same thing when they're talking about mail-in voting, all that kind of stuff, because they've seen this drop in voter registrations. And the number of new voter registrations across 11 states in April decreased by, check this number out, 70% compared with April of 2016. That's huge. That's a wide swath. And this is from a nonpartisan group, Center for Election Innovation and Research. They released that. So that shows you 70% is a very, very big number. And, you know, and normally you have people at venues, public venues, that are getting people signed up, new voters signed up. So now it's trickier for these efforts and what they're going to do. And is there a second wave? Is there a second wave in the beginning of the fall, so then you don't have voter registrations by September? Or, you know, what's it going to look like? And even you can break it down by different areas. Voter registration in Illinois, Maryland, Delaware, District of Columbia dropped 50%. 50%. Think about that. And then states with at least a 50% voter registration reduction from April 2016, Arizona, Colorado, some big swing states. Arizona, Colorado, Florida, Virginia, North Carolina, Georgia, same thing. And speaking of Georgia, Georgia primary voting, long lines, malfunctioning equipment, lots and lots of problems, catastrophic, a big snarl. Can't have that under the pandemic. That's not good at all. So they got to reform quick. Thanks for all the email. Hang with us. Are you still under stay-at-home orders trying to figure out what to do with your free time even after the lockdown is over? Why not try World of Warship? With World of Warships, you can command a massive naval fleet featuring some of history's most iconic war vessels. Unlock new ships as you prepare to dominate the oceans. Each ship is accurate to the original. Each battle will make you feel like you're right there. Each week, there's something new to experience with new missions, game updates, and events to keep you and your friends engaged for hours. Play over 300 ships across 10 different nations. World of Warships currently has over 30 million players worldwide. It's the perfect game to take your mind off things as we self-isolate to help flatten the coronavirus curve. To play for free, go to worldofwarships.com and use the invite code BOOM. BOOM gets players started with two cruisers, one American, one German, as well as some premium currency. Check it out at worldofwarships.com today. Use the invite code BOOM. World of Warships, the thinking man's action game at worldofwarships.com. Invite code BOOM.
We all have heard about the benefits of fish oils, but what about the presence of heavy metals, PCBs, dioxins, furans, and other contaminants found in fatty tissues of fish? GCNteam.com recognizes this risk and offers IFOS certified tested omega-3 fatty acids. EPA, DHA insist on IFOS omega-3 fatty acid certification. Get the best at GCNteam.com or call 877-878-4203.
Attention homeowners that have ever had a broken appliance. That's a joke, right? We've all had broken appliances. I own a home just like you and have found a way for as little as a dollar a day to have all the major appliances in my home on a warranty plan. They're guaranteed to be fixed or replaced. You know how expensive an air conditioner, the heating system, a washing machine, dryer, water heater, or refrigerator can be. For about a dollar a day, all your major appliances are protected in case they break. Unless you're Daddy Warbucks or the Monopoly guy and you don't care about money, call my friends at the Home Service Club now and get a warranty on your major appliances. It's a free call, and the first month is free. But be one of the first 25 people to call within the next 10 minutes.
800-825-6796. 800-825-6796. 800-825-6796. Again, that's 800-825-6796.
Are you afraid to go to the mailbox because of letter after letter from the IRS? Are they stacking on more and more penalties and interest? By now, you know the problem won't go away on its own. Don't let the IRS chase you to your grave with penalties and interest and liens and levies. You need real help now. I'm Dan Pilla. I wrote the book on tax debt settlement, and I help thousands of people solve tax problems they thought couldn't be solved. I can help you too. Call 800-34-NO-TAX or go to my website, danpilla.com. That's danpilla.com. danpilla.com.
Yep, it is all about tweeting, right? Somebody asked me the other day, they were considering me for something, I can't remember what it was, do a voice thing. They asked me, how many people do you have on Twitter? So I got to build up my Twitter, right? I got to be like the press. I don't know that I can catch up to him, but you can catch me on Twitter at Kate S. Delaney, because there's thousands of Kate Delaney, so I had to make sure I had my middle initial in there. And really, it's Kate Delaney, at Kate S. Delaney. But Donald Trump goes by at Real Donald Trump. And just about an hour ago, he tweeted this: radical left Governor Jay Inslee and the mayor of Seattle are being taunted and played at a level that our great country has never seen before. Take back your city now if you don't do it. I will. This is not a game. These ugly anarchists must be stopped immediately. Move fast. Move fast. And, of course, what is he talking about? He's talking about what's happening with protests, etc. And you've got the police chief there ordering Seattle police officers to turn on body cams during the protests. And you have had some things that have bubbled up over the top in Seattle. There's no question about that. So they are requiring them, hey, let's do this. And the rule, by the way, was supported by the ACLU and the members of the city council, but the policy is being questioned by demonstrators because everything is right there. Boom. So the Seattle mayor, Jenny Durkin, indicated she'd issue an emergency order for police body cameras, among some other changes, after meeting with protesters about ways to reduce tension and improve communication and police policies, including that besides the body cameras, officers' badge numbers have to be visible to the public, and that the city's going to ask federal authorities to examine the SPD's crowd management policies. And the city's going to scale back the National Guard, reassigning some to continuing helping food security efforts because of the pandemic. And the mayor said no charges are going to be filed against anyone peacefully protesting or violating past curfews doing that. The city's going to invest, they say, at least $100 million in community-based programs for black families. And the Seattle Police Department tweeted out changes to policy on body-worn camera use at demonstrations. So, you know, it's not unusual. If you want to find out what's going on with your police department in my neighborhood, it's the same thing. Go to Twitter. If something's happening, like there's smoke, it looks like there's some kind of crazy accident, go to Twitter. Because this is where so much, honestly, this is where so much breaks. Okay, some of what else is out there that's interesting. As I said, by the way, the president has 82 million followers. He also tweeted out, because he tweets a lot during the day, he also tweeted out, so many, there's so many to go through, it's wild. Okay, so, you know, people think that it's all attacking everybody, but he did tweet this out. He said, so honored by Archbishop Vigiano's incredible letter to me. I hope everyone, religious or not, reads it. And the letter to Trump was about the eternal struggle, and he warned the president that the current crisis over the coronavirus pandemic and the George Floyd riots is something that we've seen before. He said, Mr. President, in recent months, we've been witnessing the formation of two opposing sides that I would call biblical, the children of light, the children of darkness. The children of light constitute the most conspicuous part of humanity, while the children of darkness represent an absolute minority. And yet the former are the object of a sort of discrimination which places them in a situation of moral inferiority with respect to their adversaries, who often hold strategic positions in government and politics and the economy and the media. In an apparent and inexplicable way, the good are held hostage by the wicked and by those who help them either out of self-interest or fear. And then he went on to talk about coexisting as eternal enemies. He said, just as God and Satan are eternal enemies. And, you know, he talked about at the very end of it, he said, for this reason, I believe the attack to which you were subjected after your visit to the National Shrine of St. John Paul II is part of the orchestrated media narrative which seeks not to fight racism and bring social order, but to aggravate dispositions, not to bring justice, but to legitimize violence and crime. And he wrapped it up by talking about that, have to be united against the invisible enemy of all humanity. And he said, I bless you and the First Lady and the beloved American nation and all the men and women of goodwill. And it was a very, very long, by the way, letter that he wrote the president. But obviously the president was happy because he was backing him up and saying, we're seeing what's going on and this is biblical. And then went into deeper detail about that. Okay, the other thing that the president tweeted out, I'm sending $219.9 million to the San Diego area in CARES Act funding These funds will be critical for economic recovery. We have to keep people moving safely and efficiently. And then he also talked about, I'm headed to the Pittsburgh area, big money headed to the Pittsburgh area. I'm sending $41.7 million in CARES Act funding to aid in the recovery. And he said the same thing. It's critical, important for moving forward. Something else that they call it trending when something is really trending on Twitter, and it can be anything. It can be positive, negative, things that have exploded, etc. But there's always strong opinions on Twitter, which is why some people have lost jobs because of some of the things that they've said on Twitter that have been appalling to their bosses or etc. Vanessa Bryant said this. She said She said that she is still trying to recover from what's happening. She appreciates all of the love that she has been receiving from the world, and again, the effect, the Kobe Bryant effect. So people are still talking about Bryant. Obviously, that happened at the beginning of the year, the helicopter crash, and he and his daughter being killed, and now the conversation about basketball starting up, I think, gets people thinking about him and about the Lakers, etc. So that was something that kind of, you know, trended out there. And of course, anything with COVID in it, especially if it's some shocking piece of information. They even have the COVID-19 updates for the U.S. that are on Twitter, and that gives you timelines, etc., and talks about what different governors are saying and what the White House is saying, and how many people are using masks. Like, there was a doctor who tweeted out, studies suggest that routine, Scott Gottlieb said, studies suggest that routine face masks used by 50% or more of the population reduced COVID-19 spread to an R, or less than 1%. Other studies have generated similar estimates. More widespread masking with higher quality masks could help mitigate a second wave. Well, I'm all for that, Doc, if that's the truth, right? And there was something published about this on Reuters, and his tweet had over 11,000 retweets and 21,000 people that loved it, so they were paying attention to what Scott Gottlieb had to say. He's got 374,000 followers, and it makes sense, but he's a contributor to CNBC, etc., and he's there on the front lines of what's going on with COVID and the vaccines and all of that, and pumps out op-ed pieces, etc., so he is well known, and his opinion matters to many, many people. All right, the music means that I'm going to step off the stage, and thanks to all of you for listening to the show. Remember, you can hit me up at katedelaneyradio.com. I would have made you leave your key if I'd have known for just 1 second you'd be back. Are you still under stay-at-home orders trying to figure out what to do with your free time even after the lockdown is over? Why not try World of Warship? With World of Warships, you can command a massive naval fleet featuring some of history's most iconic war vessels. Unlock new ships as you prepare to dominate the oceans. Each ship is accurate to the original. Each battle will make you feel like you're right there. Each week, there's something new to experience with new missions, game updates, and events to keep you and your friends engaged for hours. Play over 300 ships across 10 different nations. World of Warships currently has over 30 million players worldwide. It's the perfect game to take your mind off things as we self-isolate to help flatten the coronavirus curve. To play for free, go to worldofwarships.com and use the invite code BOOM. BOOM gets players started with 2 cruisers, 1 American, 1 German, as well as some premium currency. Check it out at worldofwarships.com today. Use the invite code BOOM. World of Warships, the thinking man's action game at worldofwarships.com. Invite code BOOM.